Well, last Sunday, we were in Genesis, 23? Yeah. Let's see, where are we at? 23. And we were talking about, at the close of the class, we were talking about Abraham looking for a wife for his son. And as a parent, I wish I had the authority to pick the spouse for my kids, because parents feel like they have a better grasp on who would be a good spouse. But I'm glad my parents wasn't able to do that for me. But in the society that we're looking at here in Abraham's time, that was the custom for the parent to pick the spouse for the children. And Isaac, who is the son of promise from Abraham, for the God's covenant with Abraham to be carried out, he's going to have to get married and have kids. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And Isaac's getting up in years. He's no longer a teenager. He's approaching 40. And his father does not want him to marry any of the Canaanite women there, because he's concerned with he'd be drawn into the local culture and society and so forth. And when we was going over the issue of Lot in the Bible, the Jewish Talmud says that Lot's wife was from the city of Sodom. And apparently, if that's true, apparently that's what kept him attached to the city of Sodom. And instead of going out on his own and away from all the sinful people there. So if that's true and Abraham sees that, he don't want that to happen to his son. So we're getting ready to start verse 10 of chapter 23 today. And he is asking his servant to go and find a wife for Lot, Isaac. Okay, starting in verse 10 of chapter 23. Let's see, wait a minute. 23? 24.
I think you stopped at
24. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 24, I'm sorry. Chapter 24. I know it's 23, didn't sound right. Verse 10, chapter 23. And the servant took 10 camels and the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant, Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had done giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again to the well to draw water, and drew it for his camels. And the man wondered, and the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her, and 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, and she bare unto, which she bare unto Nahor." And she said, "Moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. In any kind of sporting event, you need a program to sort of keep the players know who's who. I don't have enough for everybody, but if you pass those around and share them, will help us to understand what's going on here, so far as who belongs to who and who's related and all that kind of stuff. Abraham had sent his servant. Now, we don't know the servant's name. It doesn't tell us the servant's name anywhere throughout here. But there's a lot of speculation that this servant was Eleazar. You got one up here? A lot of speculation that the servant was Eleazar, who was the head servant of Abraham. Relationships are important here. So on our handout here, Terah is the father of Abraham. Abraham had three sons and a daughter that we know about. Those three sons he had was Haran, Nahor, and Abram. And he also had Sarah by another wife. So she was Abraham's half-sister, which he married his half-sister. That was okay this time in history because there wasn't a prohibition against that at this time in history. Not until Levitical law.
And God was keeping that from developing.
Yeah.
What did the kings of... it's a disease. Who's a nurse in here? Where if you get touched or cut, it won't heal.
Hemophilia.
Hemophilia, which all the kings and many of the children of Great Britain were struck with because they were intermarrying when they were...
But this time in history, it wasn't prohibited to marry a close relative. You know, so because everybody asked, you know, where did Cain get his wife? Where did Abel get his wife? Where did Seth get his wife? Okay. So at this time in history, it wasn't prohibited from marrying a close relative. So Abraham and Sarah married. Okay, the person that we're interested in here is Nahor. Okay, Nahor married Milcah, who is a daughter of his brother. So Nahor married his niece. And they had a son, Bethuel. And then Bethuel had a daughter, Rebekah. So you can see the red here where it's coming down. And you can see the relationship between Rebekah and Isaac. So they're cousins. I don't know what to write. Yeah, they're cousins. Whatever level cousin that is, but they're cousins. The servant don't know that at the time he sees her. He just sees a nice looking girl come out to draw water. And what? He had prayed for the Lord's guidance and helping him carry out his commission to bring back a wife for Isaac. In verse 10, it says he took 10 camels. Okay, I'm big on numbers in the Bible. 10 is the number of worldly completeness. And the 10 camels were carrying all the gifts to the city of Haran. Now, if you look at the map I passed out, I don't have a copy up here. Haran, look at the landscape version map. And up towards the top between the Euphrates and Tigris River, you'll see a city named Haran. landscape. That's a cross. No, no, this is one I just passed out. I told you to keep all those maps now. These folks didn't have them, but the rest of you are supposed to have kept them. Anyway. Anyway, from Hebron, or that area down there, up to Haran, it's about 500 miles. And they're on camels. Camels can travel fairly fast. And they say it was about a 17-day trip from the Hebron area up to Haran. That is, if they just made the best time they could getting up there. So, 17-day trip, they'd have to travel about 30 miles a day. And that was a pretty good pace if they got there that fast. And camels can carry a pretty big load, too. I think I read they could carry up to a ton or something like that. So, got 10 camels. 10 is worldly completeness. He's taken a whole bunch of gifts up to Haran. So, it's sort of symbolic of taking a worthy or complete offering or a dowry or whatever up to Haran when he's looking for a wife. It also says in verse 10, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. Now, that's interpreted several ways by different commentaries. The servant he sent was probably a head servant and had control over all of Abraham's wealth, is one interpretation of it. Another interpretation of it is he had a listing of all Abraham's wealth in his hand. You know, he's got this many cattle, this many sheep. In other words, he's going to say, okay, lady, you know, you want to marry my master's son? Look what he's got, you know, kind of thing, you know. That's one interpretation of it. Another interpretation of it is he had Abraham's will with him, saying all this great wealth that Abraham has is going to Isaac to entice the girl to marry him. So there's different interpretations of that phrase for all the goods in his master's hand. But the servant, which some people think is Eleazar, was wise enough to ask for a sign that was remarkable enough to where he would think it was from God, but not something supernatural, out of ordinary, you know. He's not asking fire to come down from heaven or anything like that, you know. So when he prayed for something and then it immediately happened, he's sort of shocked, like we all are when we pray for something and God delivers right then. Yeah. You know, we can pray for something that is very likely to happen, and then when it happens, we say, well, did God answer my prayer? Is that a coincidence, you know? I mean, we're tempted to do that when we pray for something. But the servant prayed for a sign, and he gets the sign.
Before he finishes,
he gets the sign. This girl comes out. And not only did she offer to give him a drink, which was just hospitality, politeness, she offered to water his camels. Now, the kind of well that they have there is not the kind of well we think of where you put a rope down and pull a bucket back up or something like that. The well is probably a pretty big hole in the ground. And you had a staircase going around like this down to the bottom where they can feel where the water was. And then they have to walk back up the stairs to bring it up. So I'm sure it was, you know. And a camel can drink, it says, up to 20 gallons. So 10 times 20, and they've been on a long trip, 10 times 20 is like 200 gallons. Her pitcher might have carried, 5 gallons maybe? Yeah, we'll see. So here she is running up and down the stairs, you know, filling her...
What a woman.
Yeah. Some of the commentary said it's probably at least an hour's worth of hard work to carry the water back up and pour it in the trough, go back and get more, and she kept doing it until all the camels got to drink.
But isn't it like hard to exceed our expectations.
She
didn't say she was going to get them something to drink. She said that she would continue to water them until they were finished.
Right.
So it wasn't.
And the servants, here you got all these men there that's traveling with the servant. Looking, he has to have other men with him, have all the camels by himself. Have all these men here watching this woman going up and down, filling up the trough with water. Just like a man, huh?
Yeah.
But he's just shocked at the first girl he meets. Seems like the one that God has planned for Isaac. Yeah, before he finishes prayer, she shows up. In Isaiah 65, chapter 65, verse 24, speaks of kind of gracious answer to prayer. It says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are still seeking, I hear." So, come on in. Come on in. Sure.
We're in Genesis chapter 24.
Can you fill out a card?
Sure.
Thank you. But yeah, in Isaiah, "It shall come to pass that they will call, I will answer, and while they're still speaking, I will hear." So, and in James, it says, different translations translate it different, but it says that God hears the prayer of a righteous man. So when we're praying, we should expect God to hear our prayer. And if what we're praying, and we're supposed to pray within God's will, and if we're praying within God's will, we should expect an answer. And when we get an answer, we shouldn't be shocked about it. So the servant waited and watched, and she filled up the trough. Now, if you were looking for a wife for your son or grandson or male relative, or some of you guys, if your parents are looking for a wife for you, what kind of person would you be looking for? What kind of character would you expect a person to have? And something like what Rebecca's displaying would be very attractive as a potential spouse.
And to boot, she's very good looking too.
Yes. Well, in Hebrew it says, "Fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her." Now in Hebrew, the word for virgin is not specific enough, so it's expanding the verse there to, make for sure everybody knows that she's a virgin. Because a Hebrew word for a virgin could also be a young maid or something like that. So the text there is making it clear that she is a virgin. Okay, Derek and Christina McKinnon.
Yes, sir.
Glad to have you with us today.
Thanks for coming.
And she revealed that she was a relative of Abraham's. And we got the chart we passed out here that shows the relationships and everything there. So not only has she got the kind of character he's looking for, she's family. So God's working right there, pulling everything together for him. It's making his job easy.
Hallelujah.
Okay. And she offers him food and lodging. Of course, the servant is willing to do that. He's looking forward to that. And he's praising God for the answer of his prayers. Okay, verse 29. "And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, 'Thus spoke the man unto me,' that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And a man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. So Laban comes on the scene, and you see in your handout there that he is a brother of Rebekah. And he sees this the gold earrings and bracelets and stuff, Rebekah, and that catches his eye right then. Now, if you read through Genesis, you see later on, we come across Laban later, and he seems to be the kind of guy that's very much attracted to the worldly wealth kind of thing. So this got his attention right quick, and he runs over there to the well to see this man before he gets away. You don't want this guy to get away. You know, he's already seen a sample of what he has, you know, and he's got 10 camels that are loaded. He has to have something else there. So he goes over and brings him in and offers him food and everything. But the servant refuses to eat anything until he can tell the family what his mission is, what his purpose of being there is. Verse 34, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son, of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when a virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw water for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelet upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me into the right way to make my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. When Abraham was making the servant swear that he would follow instructions that Abraham gave him, Abraham also knew that with his dealings with God, what Abraham often planned wasn't within God's will. And so when he made the servant swear that he would do such and such, you know, go to Haran, look in his kindred, to get a wife for his son out of his kindred, if by chance they wouldn't provide a wife for his son, he was going to let the servants out of his oath. So Abraham, even though he thought this was probably God's will, he wasn't as sure of it probably as he could have been. So he was making provisions before. If that wasn't really God's will, he had misinterpreted God's will. He's giving his servant an out. But it was God's will, and it worked out. And now the servant has laid out the case to the family. He said, okay, this is how everything's went down. I found Rebecca at the well. She's the answer to the prayer that I was praying. Now, what do you think about all this? What do you think about all this? The servant's waiting for a response after he told his story. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose in the morning and said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go." He said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, her sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, up until this time, Rebekah hadn't had any say-so. It's the men doing the dealing with the servant, you know. They're accepting the proposal from the servant. And they're saying, "Yeah, sounds like a good deal to us." You know, they're probably anticipating that dowry they're going to get when everything goes down and stuff like that. And Rebecca's over there is just, you know, on the sidelines, sort of, until it comes to the issue of she's going to leave right now or not. And the servant wants to close the contract and go on with the business.
Hasn't the servant provided all the dowry? He came with 10. You said it was completeness.
Yeah.
So it must have been a complete dowry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's hard to turn her kids loose sometimes.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn her kids loose.
Especially just like that.
Yeah. They said, "Let her stay 10 days. Again, we've got the number 10 here. Worldly completeness. Worldly emotions and stuff playing a part here. They're wanting to hold on to her, really. They want the dowry, but they want to hold on to her also, you know. But the servant's already laid it out that his wife was not going to come from the Canaanites. And Isaac is not going to go to Haran. So the only other option is for Rebekah to go back to Canaan with him.
It seems to me that they were righteous as they said that they, you know, they said the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you. Mm-hmm. We don't have a choice. The Lord said so, so.
Yeah, but then they double speak.
You know how we are, though. Even though we know something is of the Lord, we want to put our flavor into it also. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do what the God wants us to do, but we'll just
wait 10 days.
Wait 10 days, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We try to do things like that.
Wasn't it unusual that they would even give Rebekah the choice? I mean, even the women just kind
they,
of were talking
they probably thought she was going to say no.
Yeah, probably said, "Can I stay a few days?"
And again, this is the kind of wife that the servant is looking for Isaac. He's looking for a woman that's willing to leave everything behind and go and be under authority of her husband. That's what he's looking for. So she is consistently here filling his expectations of the kind of wife he's looking for Isaac.
Well, only that, but she's leaving, you know, her family worships God, and she's going to a land that she'll be an alien in with Abraham's family because
her family's
Canaanite.
No, so. Her family, I don't believe, is
as much as Abraham.
Not the degree that Abraham is. Terah, his father, picked up from the city of Ur, the Chaldees, and moved up to Haran. And Abraham was with him. But Abraham was the one that was called out of Ur and not Terah, his father. And Abraham delayed in Haran until his father died before he went on to Canaan. And we'll see later on when Isaac goes back, when Jacob goes back to get a wife, Rachel, that Rachel takes some family idols with her. So there's a certain amount of idolatry in the family, even in Haran. And that's probably a reason also that Abraham don't want Isaac to go back there, because they're in a pagan country and they still have their house idols that they're worshiping. And Abraham has, at least his household, at least Abraham's household is, all his servants and everything are believers in God, worshipers of God. And he don't want Isaac outside of that environment. He don't want him tempted. That's why he don't want him to have a Canaanite wife. So he wants somebody that's family, you know, but he also wants that wife to be in that God-believing environment and not his son go into a pagan environment.
Well, I guess since Nahor was Abraham's brother, he knew, because as later as we see what Laban does later on, he probably knew too, if he sent Isaac back there, it'd be hard to get Isaac.
Might be hard to get him back. All the family said, you know, stay here with family, you know. And that you know, family is always a strong influence in our lives. But he don't want that to even be a possibility for Isaac. Because the promise is God's going to give him that land. That's the promise. And he wants Isaac to stay there in the promised land.
Yeah, and it's also interesting where they said, it says that in verse 60 that they blessed Rebekah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they said, be thou the mother of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
A million, you know, for them to be able to have the knowledge, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, even though it don't say in the scripture here, the servant probably told the family, the promise that God had given Abraham.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what kind of conversation was going on between Rebecca and the servant and stuff on their way back. You know, trying to find out, you know, what kind of guy is this Isaac? How much money does he have? You know, where does he live? You know.
Do I have to draw water?
Maybe that too. Maybe that too. But you can imagine those kind of things going through her mind.
Yeah.
And it is hard. I know it's hard for a woman to pick up and leave everything and go with her husband. I mean, especially in the military when you have to just pick up and move. You know, the man too, when you got to just leave everything and go. It's hard sometimes.
You know that Rebecca left with her nurse, with her...
Yeah, she had some servants with her.
Yeah.
They were well off. Yeah, they were well off, but she's still drawing water. Even though she had servants, she's still drawing water.
Well, we're not really sure of that, because it's not wise to have just your daughter go to the well all by herself. From what I've said.
Well, it was time that the women went to the well.
Right, the women. So yeah. There's probably some of her servants as well.
Possible, yeah.
Dressed differently.
Mm-hmm. But Rebecca says, I'll go. Yeah, ready to go. She was ready to leave family, friends, everything behind and go and start a new life. And that's the kind of wife that the servant was looking for Isaac. She's fulfilling all his expectations. Okay, verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when he saw Isaac, she saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. They were strangers when they married. They didn't know each other. They didn't know each other. But when they married, then their love developed, and they grew strong together. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make in our life when we're, I don't want to get in trouble here, when we're looking for a spouse is the emotional part of the relationship. The emotional part is important, but the commitment, the committed love is more important. Because in relationships, there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be one spouse sick or both spouse sick or events that's going to aggravate one or the other. And if you don't have the commitment there, the emotions can disappear for a while. I mean, they can come and go in a relationship. And oftentimes when a couple, when the emotions die for a while, they're ready to give it up. They don't have the commitment.
It's not just a commitment, but I think even before that, you have to be in prayers. You really have to pray for God to bring you.
If you're not unequally yoked and you marry another believer, both of you have a foundation to work out any difficulties that you run across. Mm-hmm. But too often people get attracted to each other emotionally, and that's all there is there. They don't have the commitment. They don't have the understanding of the commitment that a husband is supposed to have for his wife and wife for a husband. So it's, even though they've never seen each other before, it's a marriage that worked out because they were committed to each other. Mm-hmm. And the emotional part came later. Now, This part of the scripture, we talked earlier about Abraham offering Isaac on the altar, and how that was a foreshadowing or a model or whatever of the death and resurrection of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Well, this part of scripture is also often allegorized too, where Abraham is the father, and Isaac's the son, and the servant is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's known to bring the bride back to the son, Rebekah being the bride. And the wife that died, Sarah, Israel. And but all allegories don't fit exactly. You got some things that don't really fit, like Ishmael. How's Ishmael fit in there? I don't know. So, I don't know. Way most commentators try to explain that, Ishmael wasn't supposed to happen. It's just like later on when Moses struck the rock. He wasn't supposed to strike the rock. He's supposed to speak to it. So, a lot of the allegory in the Bible doesn't work out because people were disobedient to God. If people had been obedient to God, the allegory could have worked out better in the Bible, but people were disobedient, so it didn't work out so well sometimes. But yeah, this is used as an allegory to talk about the bride of Christ and the Holy Spirit working in the church to bring the bride back to Christ as a perfect virgin damsel, bring back to the son. So, I don't know how much I can put in that, because when you start trying to follow the allegory, that's why it breaks down. Yeah, you know, it always breaks down eventually.
The ten camels being the worldly completeness, you know, as an offering or a dowry, that could be Christ, you know, to bring the bride back.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, it eventually breaks down because after a while Abraham dies, but you know, God don't die. So the allegory breaks down after a while anyway.
Well, why did the servant go to Isaac even though he was sent from Abraham and ends up in Isaac's fields?
Isaac was out there to meet him. And if you look at it allegorically, this is the first time we've seen Isaac on the scene since his sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Mm-hmm. So, in the allegory, this is the second coming. And he came out to the field, came out of his living area, heaven, came out in the field to meet his bride. So that's part of the allegory.
And I guess the servant saw Abraham and Isaac as his masters. Mm-hmm. That's what he called it. Said, it's my master.
Because everything was going to Isaac.
Yeah.
Including the servants.
Yeah.
Okay, might have time for one little additional snippet of scripture here in verse 25. Then Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shuah. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Lemumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abidah and Eldaah. All these were children of Keturah, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, and to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, and eastward into the east country. So after Sarah died, Abraham still had a lot of stamina, apparently.
Over 120.
He was, they say he was about 140 when he took Keturah as wife.
So he had 600?
That's the ones they told us about. He said he had other concubines too they didn't tell us about. And then later on in scripture in 1 Chronicles 132, it calls Keturah a concubine. So there's speculation that she might have been his concubine until after Sarah died, and then she became the primary wife or something like that. Don't know. I mean, it's not clear in scripture. But the old guy still was producing kids in his old age, 140. And he said he's going to be the father of many nations.
Yeah.
So not only was he the father of the Jews through Isaac, he had all these other kids, and the Midianites, you know, they can track some of these children into other nations in the Bible. So he was...
Sheba, that's Sheba and Dedan were both in Egypt.
Yeah, if it's the same Sheba, you know, we have names that are duplicated multiple times in the Bible, so not necessarily match up, but that's one of the speculations that was people of Sheba. But don't know. But we'll pick up in, where are we at now? Pick up in verse 7, chapter 25, next Sunday. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray you continue to unfold your word before us, and pray that we'll get guidance and knowledge from your word that we may use to live a more productive and pleasing life in your presence. As we go in your sanctuary now, Lord, we pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be to glorification of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.